Appeal number 073706, United States versus Sanchez Perico. Mr. Barnett.
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I'm Mark Barnett on behalf of Victor Sanchez Preciado. The case is here, Your Honor, on a sentencing by the lower court on a two-count indictment, which Mr. Preciado entered a blind plea of guilty to. He got sentenced to 262 months based on guideline calculations by the trial court. I'm suggesting here, and I'd like to emphasize argument one that I made in my brief and argument four. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer. There is an acceptance of responsibility guideline that the court can invoke when a defendant pleads guilty. As you well know, acceptance of responsibility is pretty much automatic if they accept responsibility and they plead guilty to the indictment, which was given here. So the 2 points out of the 3 possible points were given to Mr. Preciado. The other point is if, based on that, there is no trial preparation and it saves the government time and trial preparation and work, they will get an additional point. The law is that the government moves the court to give the additional 1 point. That is the law, and I'm aware of that. But all the factors, aside from that, were met in this case. There was never, ever...
That's a pretty big factor, though.
Yes, I know. I know. But still, I'd like to just have you consider that every other factor was met. It's clear there was no trial contemplated in this case. This started early on, his attempt to plead guilty. The government never had to prepare any trial in this case. It's clear. And as a matter of, you know, all the other factors were met. I'm not going to go into them. It's pretty clear. There was no investigation after the arrest and indictments. Mr. Preciado went in and proffered. It's typical in these cases in the lower court that the government would move for the additional 1 point. And I'm just pointing out that for some reason, inadvertently, the defense did not ask that be done. One point in this case is huge. This is a very high sentence. And as typically, it would be something the government would do. They even contemplated in their submission for the pre-sentence report. They contemplated that there would be a 3 point reduction. It just wasn't done. It wasn't done because, unfortunately, it wasn't called to the attention of the government to do it. I realize in the brief the government filed that they're claiming that, well, you know, Mr. Preciado didn't accept responsibility because he wanted to argue his relevant conduct portion and therefore caused a full-blown hearing which might kind of be construed as some kind of trial. I disagree. I think the issue is clearly not whether or not he should have gotten it, but the fact of the matter is that the government never made the motion, and it was never brought to the attention of the court or brought to the attention of the government. I think he deserved it, clearly. He should not be punished because he raised some argument regarding a relevant conduct as to whether or not he distributed 150 kilos. He clearly accepted responsibility, and that comes usually, typically, the 1 point comes automatically. It comes automatically. If there's no trial preparation, it typically comes automatically. And in this case, it would be significant. It would be significant.
Isn't it also an early plea gets at 1 point?
Yes, this is. Not necessarily an early plea,
well,
but at least
an
indication to the government, look, there's not going to be a trial here. But we're going to plead. We're going to work this out one way or the other. And there never was ever any contemplation of a trial in this case. Never. Right? There's no indication whatsoever that was the case. And I do believe that at the time, not in hindsight, but at that time, had the defendant asked the government to make that motion, the government would have made that motion as a matter of course.
His guideline range, if you just took a point off, would have put this 262-month more in the middle of the resulting range.
Well, this was the low end of that, yes.
267 to 327 was the range. If you got a point off, it would have moved to 235 to 293.
Well, if the low end of the guidelines was the consideration of the court, we can't assume that the court wouldn't have given him the low end of the guidelines on whatever. If you read
the advisory guideline atmosphere, the judge could have.
I understand that.
Given 210 months here.
He could have, but he was kind of, he was going by the guidelines based on that calculation. Had he had the opportunity to have a different calculation, we're not sure what he would have done. I'm just suggesting that this was more of an oversight than an intention. And it matters. It's the possibility is great of a difference in the sentence, especially when you get that high up. The only other thing I'd point out is in argument four that in the brief, you know, the calculation of 150 kilograms. I just point out that the trial court relied heavily on the testimony of the cooperating witness who said initially that there were three trips. He was arrested. The agents talked to him. He said there were three trips total. Later on that day, it went to 10. And the government the witness testified in court that there were 10 trips rather than three.
How did that benefit Mena? What was that? Did that benefit?
The benefit in any cooperation, is a lower sentence. That's it. I don't suggest that in most cases someone who's distributing drugs equally as well as Mr. Preciado gets religion and decides to be honest. I mean, I'm suggesting to this court that this is not a declaration against penal interest whatsoever. When someone's cooperating in a case, they're looking to get a less of a sentence. The court relied on this to be a statement against penal interest. The assumption, therefore, being that at the time Aguayo makes this statement, he goes from two trips to 10, he knows what relevant conduct is. He knows he's going to get punished for the additional 10. This man's not a lawyer. This man's cooperating with the government. He's trying to get the best deal he can. And to make the conclusion, which the court relied heavily on, this is a declaration against penal interest. It is not.
Well, he testified under oath in front of the judge, though, didn't he?
He testified under oath.
And the discrepancy was pointed out in the cross-examination. The trial judge had a chance to assess the credibility.
Yes, that's true. But the trial judge heavily relied on the fact that it's counterintuitive to believe that Mr. Aguayo would raise the amount of trips from 2 to 10 when he'd risk additional jail time. And I'm suggesting that that's not counterintuitive because he doesn't believe he's going to get additional jail time at the time he's doing this. That's not a declaration against penal interest. He thinks he's going to get a better sentence. They're telling him, come clean, tell us what you know, and we'll give you a better deal. He's cooperating for a deal. That's totally opposite a declaration against penal interest. So at the time he's making the statement, he is not, and the court heavily relied on believing that. If you look at the rest of the record, there's no indication, nothing corroborates the 10 trips. He says he makes 1,000 a kilo. So for two trips, which he originally said there was, he would have about $40,000 to $45,000, which is what they recovered from Mr. Aguayo. There's nothing else in the record that would show anything about 10 trips. There is some suggestion by the government, and I'll stop. There's some suggestion in the government's brief that there were conversations at the day that this went down, at the day the arrest took place. There was some familiarity in places that, restaurants or other, you know, places that they were alluding to in the conversations, but there was never any mention in any of the tape conversations about separate trips or prior trips. Familiarity with other places can come from anything. There's no definite conclusion that there were eight other trips based on those conversations. You could have two trips and remember where we ate dinner. I can meet you twice and I'll remember where we ate dinner. And I'll remember where I picked up some drugs based on one trip, one prior trip. The main thing that the judge was relying on was he couldn't believe that he would state something against his penal interest, and I'm suggesting it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. He would be benefiting. The bigger the catch, the bigger the deal. The more drugs there were, the more this Mr. Preciado was a bigger fish, the more time, the better deal that Aguayo was going to get. That is not a declaration against penal interest. And for the court to assume that and base their decision on that, on calculating that, and anything else in the record doesn't back it up. So that was the big thing. And it's just not true. It's not that legally. It's not true. It is not. It's not. So, I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
Mr. Shakeshaft.
May it please the court, Tom Shakeshaft on behalf of the United States. With regard to the acceptance of responsibility issue, the defendant never did accept responsibility for the totality of his criminal conduct. He put the government to the functional equivalent of a trial at a sentencing hearing to prove up the 9 or 10 other trips that were involved in this. And so the government, it was not an inadvertent error. The government intentionally did not move for the third point because the defendant didn't deserve it. The defendant never accepted responsibility, and the government did expend the time and resources to go through a full-fledged sentencing hearing with transcripts of recorded calls, putting a cooperating defendant on the stand, and going through proving up the relevant conduct in this case. And so the defendant got his 2 points for pleading guilty and not going to trial, but he wasn't entitled to the third point. The government didn't move for it, and this court has held that the district court doesn't have discretion to give it to him if the government doesn't move for it. With regard to the fourth issue that counsel addressed, with regard to the 10 trips, the district court clearly found the cooperating defendant was credible. His testimony was corroborated by recorded phone calls that clearly evidenced an ongoing criminality and criminal conduct of these ongoing cocaine and money shipments back and forth between Chicago and Los Angeles. And so the district court said, this is a question of who's telling the truth, and I believe this witness. And there was corroborating evidence that showed that this witness was telling the truth, that there were, in fact, 10 trips between Los Angeles and Chicago that brought into this district in excess of 200 kilograms of cocaine over the course of a year. And the district court correctly calculated the guideline range, gave the defendant a low end of the guideline sentence, which is presumptively reasonable. And for those reasons, unless the panel has any additional questions, we would ask that the district court's judgment be affirmed and the sentence be affirmed.
Okay. Thank you. This case will be taken under advisement.